Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour. It is Jonna Spilbore, it is Carol Pesci, and it is myself. Apologies to all. And we are back with another Happy Hour. And hello, ladies. I hope everything is all right with y'all.
Y'all. Yeah. It's fall, y'all.
That's right, it is.
Oh, gosh.
That is funny. Now, I will tell the audience that that comes from the fact that I had some issues this week, so I did actually get a chance to hear the interview that Jonna and Carol did with our guest that's coming up in segment number two, so thus the reason for welcoming y'all to our show this morning.
Okay. It's a little foreshadowing.
How long have we been doing this?
Yeah. We're professionals. Don't try this at home.
That's right. We're so professional that we've decided to create a new segment today. We've decided today that we are going to have a new segment, and we are calling this new segment Random Crap.
Okay.
Random. Right? We want to call it random something else, but we're not allowed to. So we're
that's right. Well, how about random battleship?
How about random ship my pants?
There you go.
Okay, sure.
I used to love those commercials.
No, remember those?
Oh my God,
we're good.
I love to ship my pants. You can ship your pants. You sure can ship your pants.
See, I remember those commercials, and I can't remember at all what they were advertising.
Well, it was like FedEx or something like that. It was one of those shipping companies.
UPS or,
yeah, one of them.
But you would think something so memorable, we should know exactly what shipping company it was, because what's the point? So, okay, so since we've developed this segment today that we are calling Random Crap, I do want to start with something kind of fun, because this week, although not a complaint.
Sitting down.
Well, wait.
Go ahead.
It's sort of a complaint, because I.
Of course it is.
Right. It's sort of a complaint. Because Carol texted me the other night. So by the time you guys are listening to this, she texted me in the middle of the week and gave me specific instructions on how I could view the Northern Light show that apparently was available here in the Hudson Valley. And still, I did not get to enjoy the Northern Lights. But how freaking cool. Everybody was posting their pictures on social media. You got a very nice picture, Curly, of it.
I did, which is cool. However, I saw nothing with the naked eye. And I was like a nut last night. I kept getting up and going outside, shutting all the outside lights on, kept looking, nothing. So at one point, I'm like, well, I'm just going to try a long exposure night view photo. And I took a couple and I caught one, but I could see nothing with the naked eye.
And that's what they say. Why would that be, though? Everybody's saying, yeah, you can't see him with your naked eye. You got to take it through your phone or your camera or whatever. How is it possible that you can't see him with the naked eye? Not even a little hint.
I don't know. Maybe we got to get that. Who's that really cool astrophysicist who
does movies?
Tyson. Oh,
yes. Neil deGrasse.
Neil deGrasse. Tyson deGrasse. Yes. Or something like
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah. I love him.
Oh,
yeah.
Not Bill Nye, the science guy?
What?
The what?
Isn't there a guy called Bill Nye, the science guy? Something like that?
Perhaps.
Well, there is a guy called Bill Nye, the science guy.
But he won't know.
He's not Neil deGrasse Tyson. No, they're different sciencey fellas.
What do you know?
Some people claim they could see it with the naked eye.
Maybe they were drunk.
I think I just had too much light. I don't know. Well, there's places you could go. Like people would go into the Ashokan Reservoir and different places that had very little light pollution that perhaps they could see it. I got a lot of, like there's a facility behind me. There's a lot of ambient light. So maybe some people could.
I think the light pollution was the reason too, although. So normally we like to have fun in segment one the whole way through, but I have to give a shout out to our very own Mama Chewy. And this isn't for anything fun. This is because Mama Chewy, I don't know if people know that she now resides in North Carolina, and Mama Chewy had to rough out. We've had some horrible weather down south, and Mama Chewy had to tough out getting hit pretty hard by the first of two hurricanes. And she took it like a champ. And I just want to say our heart goes out to all the people who are still very affected. Yes. I mean, boom, yes. Boom. Back
oh,
back.
Definitely. Yeah.
North Carolina got it, especially Mama Chewy's area, got it so bad a couple weeks ago. And then we know this week Florida got hit, too. I've got family there. You've got, you know, Mama Chewy in North Carolina. And I just want to just let everybody know that our hearts and our thoughts are with everybody down there. It's so, you know, nothing is scarier than having to endure a huge weather event like that, because you are so literally helpless, right? It's not.
Yes.
You've got to ride it out. There's nothing you can control. You got to hope the walls don't fall in on you. And it's we're thinking of all the people affected.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
and so for those of you who aren't familiar, Mama Chewy is my mom. And she lives in Western.
Everybody's familiar.
Come on, they know.
Western North Carolina, and she is 83 and blind.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't laugh. I guess it's kind of funny because what else are you going to do but laugh? She's not very mobile, and she has an electric lift recliner. And they lost power for 5 days, and her chair was stuck with her feet up for 5 days. Like, her trying to get out of the chair to go to the bathroom. Mm. And yet she really, overall, they have a creek on the property. It did flood out the road. God love them. Their neighbor has a backhoe and a dump truck, was able to repair the road in a couple of days. And they were only without power for 5 days. And look, we're seeing, as awful as all of this is, you are seeing wonderful stories of people coming together, neighbors helping neighbors, strangers helping strangers. As a matter of fact, I'll give a shout out to somebody who I found through Facebook following what was going on. My sister is a diabetic on top of everything else, needs to keep her insulin cold, and found somebody who was making runs to her town, and he brought her bags of ice to keep her insulin cold, and doesn't know where from Adam. Wouldn't take any money, just... so people show their best in these Amazing. Times and I appreciate that. And every tree that fell on her property, none of them hit the homes, and all in all, power's back. They're in good shape. And my mother did keep a wonderful attitude. I mean, she sat there for days. Her only entertainment is listening to audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And she sat there for that many days, having no idea what news. She would usually ask Alexa, what time is it? Time to take her meds. My sister was getting up and, you know, helping her out. But I can't imagine what that was like for her to not be able to see, not know what time it was, what was going on. And she really did not complain at all. She considered herself lucky.
So I called her last week. It's an amazing, she just has such a positive, amazing attitude. And all the things you said, you know, she's in her mid-80s and she's legally blind. She's got a cat that she loves. And, you know, I'm such an idiot because I'm talking to her. I'm in the car and I'm like shouting. And then it occurred to me, I'm like, she can hear me just fine. It's not like, hi, Mama Chewy.
You know, and the worst part is you're doing this to somebody who is legally blind. Usually the shouting happens to somebody who you think might be hard of hearing.
But I'm so sure, like whenever I call her, I can't figure out how she knows that it's me. And every time I'm like, it's Jonna, she's like, I know.
and she says it because she wants to follow it with, because I'm a witch. I know. I practice.
She knows your voice, and I guess her phone is set up where it announces who it's calling.
Oh, that's what I figured.
Oh, you took all the mystery out of it.
Oh, sorry.
So, but it's just amazing because, you know, I compare her wonderful attitude during this time of crisis with her age and any infirmities and to, you know, I know people who are much, you know, put any millennial in that situation and they would be pissing and moaning, but not her. Like, it really is just amazing. So my hat off to her and everybody else who, you know, dug themselves out and dug out a neighbor. Or I didn't know that the person who brought the ice didn't know them from Adam. That just warmed my heart.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
he was awesome. People are amazing. And shout out to all the linemen and line women working around the clock to get power back to these people. everybody. There's just a mobilization from everywhere of people helping.
You know, it's it makes me think of now I did live in Florida for a couple of years, and I did you know, weather through some hurricanes back in the day, but I do remember the first one because I had never been in a hurricane before, and you know, most of it involved me and my cat Benny hiding under the bed. But I remember, you know, at the time I was working for Disney, and this was a Friday night into a Saturday, and I'm like, all right, well, at least I don't have to go to work this morning, because normally on a Saturday, that was character breakfast day. And that was the day that I would go into Disney and I would play Goofy for the kids at a character breakfast at the resort that I worked at. And, you know, we got a hurricane, and hurricane's doing hurricane stuff. And I get a phone call in the morning from my boss at Disney there. Hey, listen, can you come in? And I said to them on the phone, you do know we're in the middle of a hurricane, right? Yeah, but I just wanted to see if you could still come in for the character breakfast. And I responded with, did I mention the hurricane? And they said, but the kids are really scared. The power is out and they need a distraction. So I didn't even bother with the third version of, did I say hurricane? And I said, right. Oh, God, okay, fine. And I actually, my first hurricane experience was driving in the eye of a hurricane until I got out of the eye of the hurricane, scaring the living crap out of myself to put on tights and a big ass plastic head.
If you're going to do it.
I know. You're going to experience a hurricane the first time. Do that crap right.
Now, was your head blown around a lot, Frank?
No, thankfully, obviously, we weren't outside, but no, we were all good. We were all good. The only issue was that there was with the power out, there was no AC, so we kept having to run into the back to take off those big ass plastic heads, as a matter of fact, just so we could breathe a little bit.
You didn't use any children as human shields or anything against the flying debris?
No, I did not.
But they're more flexible. Their bones are more flexible. They'll bend.
You could have made a game out of it.
You're going to play a new version of dodgeball.
Here comes a piece of Space Mountain. Here, little Billy.
Here's a helmet. Let's go.
Oh, boy. I like our new segment, Random Crap. It's
really good. It sounded like you had something else, though, that this was just the starting point.
Oh, well, yeah. So it's been a minute since we talked about, you know, cat situation over in New Hamburg.
What is the cat situation?
I have some new information, new and surprising information, which at first glance might sound like it's good until I get into the rest of the story, and then it ain't good. Well, it ain't bad. It's just, anywho, so you know how I got like some cats that I rescued that are inside, and there's a whole new batch of kittens that are outside. Okay, right, you guys know. And
seven inside.
Thank you for the reminder. Yeah.
I was just going to say thank you, Carol, for updating us on the exact number.
You're welcome.
So, you know, catching these guys requires a whole lot of timing because, you got to be able to get them to the bed, and you can't do it when you got to go to court in the morning. Okay. Anyway, long story short, I get a surprise note in my mailbox, and the note is from a neighbor. And the neighbor basically...
Oh, I thought it was going to be from the mother cat saying, stop stealing my children.
No, I wish.
Cruella.
I wish. So the note says... And I get all excited when I read this note. The note basically says, hi, I am working with some cat rescue folks because there's a bunch of cats. I'm your neighbor, and there's a bunch of cats that are coming around, and I'm trying my best to catch them and have them spayed and neutered and then released back out into the mean streets of New Hamburg. And I've been told that you too are trying to rescue some cats. And I got very excited because I'm now thinking, wow.
Here comes some help.
I got help. The cats, because these cats aren't on my property every day. So I'm like, this explains where they go. They're going to this neighbor, and the neighbor realizes there's an issue and we're on the same page and this is awesome. So I immediately pick up the phone. She left her phone number. I pick up the phone. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. Yes, let's join forces and get these cats. Well, we start comparing notes. They ain't the same cats.
God, there's more.
There's a whole other, it sounds like a whole other colony of feral cats around the corner from my little colony of feral cats.
They're like gangs with their own territory.
Yeah, it's like the Sharks and the Jets.
Exactly.
And now we're both panicking because we're like, we're doing the math. And we say to each other, if we don't get a handle on this.
Oh, my God.
We're going to have an even bigger problem than we already know we have.
So it's still good because now we know each other and we have the same common goal. We just have more cats than we thought we had to deal with. Yeah.
So at first you were like, I no longer have to be afraid.
Right.
And then, drop it.
Carol.
Be afraid.
Carol.
Be very afraid.
No longer afraid.
No longer afraid. Johnny, you're missing it. Holy cow. She couldn't have offered that any more softball-like to you.
Thank you, Frank and Barry.
And I didn't even hear the interview. I only heard the first like minute.
Can you just go back and do it again? Just say that again. All right, I was talking about the cats, and then you came in and you said.
I said, so now you no longer had to be afraid.
Oh, my God, Carol, that's the best Segoo you've ever dropped.
There you go. Nicely pitched there, Pesky.
That was very nicely pitched. Because when we come back, as luck would have it, we are going to be speaking to the author of a book of the same name, No Longer Afraid. Also, the same name of her podcast and the person of whom I am speaking is Anastasia Fomenko, who's an author, singer, songwriter, and speaker who is going to talk about us all about who is going to talk to us all about how to, this is really interesting, like how to identify basically the fears that are holding you back from living your absolute best life. And the thing that's surprising, and when we get into the interview, you're going to see a lot of the things that are holding us back is fear. We don't even know it. So she's going to help us recognize that and tell us how to get out of our own way when we come back with Anastasia Fomenko.
All right, that sounds good. And by the way, speaking of feel-good stories that do come out of situations like we were talking of earlier, hurricanes and that kind of thing, and people coming together or other instances of good news, I did come across a very heartwarming little story about a reporter and a cameraman sitting in their car, and I think it may have been in North Carolina, when a woman was walking past their car, and it's very windy, it's rainy, it's the beginnings maybe, and she says, I think I hear meowing coming from under the back of your car.
Good boy.
And the one guy got out of the car and they rescued a cat. So now they are my two favorite people. I'm sure if you Google something like that, you'll find it. So anyway, Anastasia Fomenko, she is on the way next. So please come back with more from Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci and that serial named guy.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci, and myself. And it's time to get to our guest now because, well, segment number two, that tends to be what we do every week. And we're going to be talking to Anastasia Fomenko today.
Okay, so as we were saying before the break, we are joined today by Anastasia Fomenko. Say that 10 times fast. But she is a fabulous, gorgeous author, singer, songwriter, and speaker who is committed and passionate about empowering a generation to find their true voice and live fearlessly. She's also a dedicated wife and mother of two girls, and she has written a book and has also created a podcast based on the same premise entitled No Longer Afraid, Learning to Live Without Fear. And who doesn't want to do that? Anastasia,
I love that.
I know, me too.
Yes, y'all. This is such a joy for me to be here and share this message because you're absolutely right. I feel like the message is catchy. I also have this merch that sometimes when people see it on me, they're like, what does that mean? How do I live no longer afraid? Because our world is so filled with fear. I think every day we have the opportunity to somehow fight fear in our life. And I guess for me, this book is actually comes from a really deep place. I grew up, so when I was 3 years old, a dog jumped on me and it really affected my speech. And so I began to stutter as I would learn how to speak. And so it was this constant struggle growing up. I couldn't speak. Like, I had a lot to say, but I just couldn't speak. And I just remember from a young age, you know, elementary school, you know, all the shame that comes with not being able to communicate. Like, I couldn't even say my name. My voice would just lock up. And so this book is just my journey of facing fear. Really, I think the biggest fear is to discover our true selves, because who doesn't want to live from their true self, right? And so, yeah, I wrote the book because I just had such a passion as I was on this journey of uncovering and going after all of these different fears of like shame and vulnerability and guilt and just confronting the stuff that was keeping me from being who I was created to be. So
that I had no idea that you're a little kid getting attacked by a dog, because that raises another question. And, you know, we have, Carol and I have interviewed so many experts over the years, and a lot of them will say, you know, what would you want to do with your life if you knew you couldn't fail, right? If fear were not an object. But you sort of take that premise to another level, because when I think of it, you know, how to live fearlessly, I think about the fear of failure. I don't necessarily think about, well, you know, we kind of live in a dangerous society right now. What if a dog attacks you? What if somebody pulls a gun on you, which I've had happen to me? So does your message and your book incorporate all the different ways fear can come at you?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me is I believe that none of us were created with fear. First of all, I believe that, you know, when you're a little kid and you're just completely fearless, there are so many things about us in our original design that don't care. Like, we learn fear. And so for me, it's so funny because, funny story, as I was writing the book, literally chapter one, I call my mom and I was like, Mom, tell me the story. Walk me through the whole thing. I'm 3 years old. You send me outside to, you know, into the backyard and this dog attacks me. So I just want you to walk me through the story. And so she goes, yeah. So I sent you outside. I gave you a snack. And it was this, you know, neighbor's poodle. And I'm like, hold up, poodle? Like, you're
funny,
telling
but not
me
funny.
I know.
Right.
All of these years, y'all, every time I would share the story, this dog was massive. I mean, he was this giant creature that attacked me. And so in my mind, I realized that I was making up this giant in my mind that was keeping me from living my real life. It's so wild when she, you know, drops this poodle story on me. I'm like, there's no way. How dare I keep this freaking poodle from living my best life? And so what's wild is I think that, yes, we are confronted with fears. I think there is this built-in courage that I believe it was just like a God design in us. And so for me, this whole journey of unpacking fear, it's really not like a fear of like, you know, waking up and going after something and being fearful, but it's this fear of being our true selves. I think there is layers of shame and just whatever it is that life attacked you with, you know, but I just go after, and I just believe that every day there's an activation in each chapter to just go after the different fears that are stopping you, that are limiting you from living the life that you were meant for. And so my journey is actually fascinating, because the way I learned my speaking voice is when I started going to speech therapy. My speech therapist would tell me that anesthesia, if you just relax your muscles and instead of trying to speak, pretend like you're singing. And so I would be like, hi, my name is Anastasia, you know, going to almost like a little melody as I'm starting my sentence. Well, I didn't realize that that would unlock my singing voice.
And, wow.
And literally, you guys, I found my singing voice. I begin to sing everywhere in any opportunity that I get. Like, I still, you know, I lead worship in my church and travel in like different places and sing, because of just how much that unlocked my true identity. And so I think it's so funny how fear is just a liar in our life that will go after something that actually is a platform for us. And so whatever it is for anybody that's, you know, going after things in their own heart, I just, you know, I think there's areas of like where we're afraid of pain or afraid of intimacy, afraid of confrontation, or just things that are keeping us from living the true life that we want to live.
And Anastasia, I think that we all deal with this. And I think when many of us think about facing fears or having fears, we think of maybe phobias or big fears, like my neighbor's
exactly.
Definitely afraid of snakes. But these somewhat below the surface fears that we may have not even realized or uncovered are really holding us back, perhaps in ways we don't even realize.
Right. Right. Because that's so much deeper. It's not just, you know, I get the phobias, like I don't like spiders. but I think there is a way to find our true version. I think for me, obviously, this whole journey was connected to my relationship with God. I think it involved me finding that there is something so much greater beyond me. And I discovered my voice through that. I think I discovered that God had purpose for my life. And when I started to go after these things, I realized, oh my gosh, this is not just my story. I think my story is going to unlock freedom in so many other people. And so I'm like a sweet, soft, gentle person at heart, but man, when it comes to fear, like I want to attack head on. I want to confront the lies in people's lives, because so many people live out of this lie, whatever that lie is that makes them believe that's who they are, the labels that the world has put on them, maybe their family has put on them, society has put on them. But I believe that there's a way that we can unlock all of that and discover this true purpose, this God-given purpose in our life that we're actually created to live with.
See, and that's probably one of the biggest fears that keeps people from doing that and living their best life and their authentic life, because I think we are so afraid of what we are going to be once we let go of the crap that keeps us comfortable. And right. Sometimes that fear, even though it's a fear, right? It's not, you cannot say that it's a good thing if it keeps us where we feel safe, even though that sounds sort of counterintuitive. That's right. Where people stay. And it's so scary to think about, well, what if I did this instead of that, for example?
100%. 100%.
How can your book and your podcast, how do you help people pull themselves up from that mindset?
Well, listen, my goal in life is to make people uncomfortable in the best way. Because y'all, we don't grow in comfort.
Right.
We do not grow in comfort. And I think that you are right. I think people have chosen comfort, but they've covered it up with whatever thing that's protecting them, you know. I just go after the stuff that makes people uncomfortable. If it's vulnerability, like I'm like, I want to know what's in your heart. Like, cool, you're telling me this, but how can you know? And I've, you know, walked through so many. I've done a lot of freedom groups, even just connected with so many women. I launched a movement called WILD, which stands for Women in Leadership Development, helping develop women and showing them their purpose and their God-given voice. And so I think in all of that, I just started to realize how you cannot grow in comfort. Like, we cannot see change when we're waking up and doing the same thing over and over again, thinking it's going to produce a different result. And so I go after, I call them activations in my chapter. And so it's like, you can read the book, that's awesome. But if you go after the activations, I think they're, confront certain narratives maybe that have been communicated to us or even just kind of kept us in that comfort. And so every chapter holds this little truth nugget at the end, like, hey, if you go after this, like, what's one thing you can do this week? Maybe have that hard conversation. Maybe go, you know, go and fix that relationship. But it just, you know, there has to be steps that we take to confront the fears in our life. Because, you know, it wasn't like till as I went on my healing journey, it wasn't until 6 months later that I looked back and was like, oh my God, my relationship with my husband is completely different. Because here I was, this like insecure little girl. I got married quite young, 22. And I realized how much transformation started to take place in me. And I wasn't trying to fix my marriage anymore. I was just trying to, I was going after the stuff in my life and seeing, whoa, like all of this started to affect my marriage or my relationships with, you know, the closest people to me that I just kept pushing away for whatever reason. And so I think it just brings a lot of awareness. Like, awareness is step one to go after that stuff. And so, yeah, can't grow without getting uncomfortable.
Are the activations, Anastasia, like baby steps? Because, and again, I think if somebody's going on this journey and they're reading your book and they're listening to you, they're like, okay, I've got to start someplace, but I can't go from 0 to 100. I can go from 0 to 4. Like, so do you baby steps to accomplish that?
Always baby steps, because I believe baby steps give us courage to take bigger steps. You know, it's like literally when our babies start taking steps. And so I think, you know, for whatever the activation is, I think even like I have, for example, there's an activation in there, like leaning into silence and solitude. I think a lot of people have a struggle with, you know, getting still and silent. And so I invite people, it's like, okay, maybe it's just 1 minute for you. Like, but what, you know, maybe you'll in the process discover, why do you avoid, you know, embracing silence in your life? And is there any part of you that fears being left alone with yourself? And so you lean into the discomfort, even if it's just for that 1 minute, and then you journal, like, what came out of that 1 minute? And so I think those baby steps actually lead you to become aware of what's really happening in your soul, of what's really happening, you know, inside of you. Because, you know, in our world, it's like we're filled with constant distraction. So we're constantly being bombarded by life. But I think these activations are really in hopes that it would cause you to like get still and actually look into your soul and look into your heart and see what's really there that's keeping you back.
I love that you're calling them activations instead of like exercises. Plus, you know, you can take things in theory and read and understand intellectually only so much, but you got to do something.
100%. I think that's my thing is like, I've read so many books, man. I remember reading so many books on fear, but I'm like, that's cool. I was inspired. Inspiration has not changed. You know, sometimes we like to think that inspiration has changed. Inspiration transforms us, but it doesn't, because we have to do something about that inspiration. Yep.
I'm writing that down. I am writing inspiration is not that should go on a t-shirt, on the wall, on a sticky note in your office. Inspiration is not change.
Not the most inspiring thing to say, maybe, but it's
but I like it. You know, I was just going to tell you guys something weird, and it may have absolutely nothing to do with these concepts, but you made me think of it when you were speaking just a moment ago. And so, like, for example, and I don't know if this is related to fear, but I drive to the office just about every day, and I go the same route from my home to the office. And every time I get in the car, like, especially if I'm not excited about what I've got going on in the day, I'll be like, gosh, I'm so bored. This route is boring to me. Boring, boring, boring. I hate this drive. It's only 9 miles and I'm so bored with it, right? So I recently, like really recently started to, I turned off the radio and I will drive to work with no sound. I won't put on any music. I won't put on the news. And I just look around. I'll be like, wow, I never noticed that stone wall there before. Oh my gosh, look at that. There's a little squirrel in that. Oh, a stray cat. They're always there. And I started noticing things, and all that didn't do anything. I'm not even a better person for having done it, but I'm less bored with that 9-mile drive of my life. And I don't know where this is going to be connected at some point in the future, but it's just something that I noticed and I changed.
Wow. I love that.
But it's so tiny. I mean, it's so small. Like,
I'm not going to become president because I decided to drive to work without the radio on. But it was something that I needed to shake things up. And I think some people, and maybe that's part of it, maybe people who are looking to bloom or go in another direction or enhance their lives in some way, and they can't figure out why they're stuck. Maybe you got to start with something even as small as that and then layer down into what is this? Maybe this is rooted in fear and I just haven't gotten to that revelation yet.
Yes, I will tell you, I have endless stories of just walking with people and helping them confront these things. That's why I wrote the book, because I'm like, man, this is working. I need to write this down. And so before I even wrote the book, I was just like, for 10 years, I was just helping people discover that. I mean, I help girls overcome fears of getting into relationships with, you know, a guy that they truly wanted to, but there was just fear, whatever the fear was, fear of abandonment or fear of rejection. You know, I helped women start businesses. Like, I think it's so cool that we can even, I don't know, I call it sisterhood, because if we just partner and help each other discover, hey, what's the one thing that's keeping you? It's like, oh, well, it's, you know, comparison. Oh my gosh, let's go after that. Because why the heck are you comparing yourself to that person? It's a trap, you know? And so kind of helping them uncover those things. So for me, I just know endless stories of people taking those baby steps and actually identifying bigger things and starting to get awareness of, wow, I have limited my life because of, you know, this and this fear.
Well, and when true to your first story you tell in your book, that sometimes the fears that we develop are stories we tell ourselves, and those stories aren't even always accurate. You had a fear that could have debilitated you for the rest of your life to speak up and speak out because you were attacked by a giant dog that turned out to be a poodle who was probably trying to lick your face.
Yes, exactly. It was a cute little poodle that had too much energy. And here I was building this monster out of it. It's just, it's funny now, but I remember when I went on this journey, I was just, you know, I felt like I was fighting with the monster. And so I think the baby steps do expose. It's like eating an elephant. You know, you can't just like go after all of it at once. You take baby steps and then you start to see the results. And I didn't even know this message was inside of me. I remember I actually sat down at the piano one day because I was going into the studio to record a completely different song, but I was kind of not impressed with it. And I just felt like, oh, I just don't feel like this is it. And I sat at the piano. I remember just like bawling my face off because I'm just this emotional creature. And I'm just sitting there singing these words, like, your love is here. I'm no longer afraid. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm no longer afraid. And so this song came out literally in 20 minutes. I go in the studio and record it. I didn't even know it was inside of me. But I'm telling you, because of going on this journey to uncover layer by layer, peel back all the stuff, I discovered my life message. It's been the best thing that's ever really happened to me.
Anastasia, if someone's listening right now who resonates with being held back in life for fears, they're just tired of it, they don't know what to do, what's a first step, regardless of what your fear might be, to start facing it, to start addressing it, to start living fuller in spite of it?
I would say journaling absolutely changed my life, because I think that we don't really know what's happening inside of us until we see it on the outside. And sometimes what happens on the inside, it's taking over our entire life, but we don't even know what's there until we see it on paper. And we're like, wait, what? This is how I really feel. And so I think step one is for sure getting it out and then looking at it. Like, I cannot believe whatever this thing is crippling me. And so step one is, you know, to become aware, really. And I think awareness for me, the practical tool would be to journal. And then I'll just go ahead and give you step two, because I believe that we cannot do anything without community. I think community is vital. I think it's the people in our life that help us get to where we are today, right? Obviously for me, it's God first, but then community really helps me discover what that is. And so finding those people, like fighting for, like, whatever that looks like for you, it's like a small group in your church or like a community that's going to before you. I know that's really almost hard to find these days, but I'm telling you, it's out there. And if you fight for it, you will find those people in your life that can support whatever it is that you're going after in your life. Because we just can't do life alone.
I appreciate you saying that, because I think Carol and I have and Jeannie, our good friend Jeannie Kelly, are that little core. Like, I know I could bounce anything off Carol and Jeannie and get an honest answer, honest feedback, and feel safe in doing it. And that is very hard to find, the core group of people in your life who you're able to do that with. And I can count on one hand, I think,
right,
that with, and I just gave you two of them. And I do agree that is very important. And even though, and I love this topic, and I love your energy around this topic, and I know that we only have a limited time, so we have to wrap up here very soon. But in addition to getting your book, people can also, is your podcast the exact same name, No Longer Afraid?
Yes, so No Longer Afraid.
They can find you on your podcast, No Longer Afraid. The book, of course, is called No Longer Afraid, Learning to Live Without Fear. And it's just so, we really could go on and on, because it's so important just to get from where you are to where you want to be. Sometimes this is the first step. And I love your story, started with a setback, because Joel Osteen, who I love, always says setbacks are often setups for
better
future. And I love that. So I really, really appreciate your time. Anastasia Fomenko, we've been speaking with. She is the author of No Longer Afraid, Learning to Live Without Fear, and also of the podcast of the same name. And I guess we could also kind of listen to some of your music. Where's the best place to do that? YouTube?
Anywhere, really. And again, it's the same name, No Longer Afraid. So really easy to find.
That is the message. Anastasia Fomenko, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciated our time with you.
I loved it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Anastasia.
All right. Well, yes, thank you very much to Anastasia Fomenko for joining us today. And we are not done with Happy Hour yet this morning. We've still got segment number 3 on the way. So please stick around. Jonas Billboard, Carol Pesci, and Some Dude will be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time here. It's Happy Hour, Jonas Billboard and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Oh, very nicely done. Oh, that's one of the best ones you've done in a long time. Small, tiny tennis claps. Very nice. Very nice.
It's hard to believe that she, because of a fear, almost lost her voice. She stuttered. She couldn't speak. And you listen to her with her energy and how just her courage flows it's just, what an amazing turnaround.
Well, and the funny part, like I chuckle, you know, her, and this is another example of how fears can get us when actually they seem a lot bigger than they may actually be. You know, when she retold the story of when she asked her mom about the dog that attacked her that started this stuttering and this fear that she felt for such a long time. And the mother said, well, it was like a poodle. And she went, what? A poodle? But that's how, you know, we all, that's sort of analogous to when we do have a fear. A lot of times, if we just kind of step back and really analyze it, the fear is not as big and scary as it might initially seem.
I wonder too, if the more we avoid it, the bigger it gets.
Right.
You know, turn around and face it. And her advice to start by journaling. What was the line she said? It was something about nothing about getting it down and out before you can do anything with it. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was brilliant.
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, obviously it would be, you know, it is very important to face it. I mean, I've had my own fears too. And they, you know, when you keep ignoring them or you keep pushing them aside, especially when they start to rear their ugly head, as they may say, and you go, no time for that right now. Well, then you end up blowing them up. You know, then a poodle, you know, becomes a German shepherd that wanted to rip your throat out. You know, that kind of thing. So,
and they don't go away. Like ignoring your issues, your fears, your problems, right? Whatever they are. Putting your head in the sand and not addressing them doesn't make them disappear. It never does. You know, rarely does. And I see it, you know, I see it in myself. I'm sure we've all kind of
suffered that, but and I definitely recognize it in the people in my life when they're avoiding something. And that's a funny thing, right? Because the people outside who see you do it can recognize it so clearly, and sometimes you don't. And part of what her book is about and her message is, you know, you kind of got to get in there and figure out what it is so you can wrestle. Well,
I faced a fear 3 times in 1 day this week, right, Frankenberry?
3 times in 1 day?
Yeah. What?
You did.
I answered the phone.
Oh, my God. That's right. I forgot about that. Yes.
Frankenberry called and I answered.
Yeah, she did.
And then he called again and I answered again.
I know.
What?
I was so proud of you. And it's funny. And John, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sitting in the car now just to let the audience know I had my car broke down on the way into Beacon on Wednesday morning. And that was on the thruway. And I was able, thankfully, to get the car that now was going to need a new alternator and was barely running. I was able to get it across the highway into a UE location. And as I'm sitting there, I said, well, you know, I've got a recording coming up here. I need to call John or Carol. And I said, well, I'm going to call Carol. I know neither of them want to pick up the phone, but Carol, I probably have a better shot of Carol picking up the phone than Jonna. And I was
correct.
I was correct. But yes, I was very proud of you there, Carol. And you overcame that fear of answering a telephone. And like you said, from a, you know, off air from an old friend of yours where you run and hide in a closet and hope they just go away and the phone stops ringing. And that's why you no longer answer the phone again. That fear, see?
Oh,
you overcame it.
I know. I don't want to say I overcame it, but I faced it.
And let me also say, it's not a fear. We just hate the phone.
I do. Slightly embarrassing story. Well, on the same line. Craig was traveling this week to Texas. He was away. His mother had been visiting her sisters in Florida, and he texted me. He says, can you find out if my mom is home or not? Oh, God, this is a safe request. He texts her, and I get along with her. Great. We have a wonderful relationship. I don't like to talk on the phone, period. I don't care who you are. So I texted her. I'm like, are you back home yet? And then the phone rings.
Uh-oh.
Because she didn't want to reply by text. And now I had just texted her. I couldn't ignore it. I'm like, shut up. Hello.
You're not following protocol.
Oh, my God. So for the next 15 minutes, we were chatting. It was fine, but it was just funny. Because like, and then it was like, Craig was actually pretty funny. It was like, 6 hours later, he texted me. He goes, I'm at the airport. He goes, are you still on the phone?
She totally violated the protocol. She violated the reciprocal texting protocol. And you should hold that
you
against
call your back when somebody texts you.
Never.
That's right. Never, never, never. But, all right. Well, listen, I think that's about it for us. We have taught the audience a lesson about phone call etiquette and protocol. We'll be back again next week with more with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry. You've been listening to Happy Hour. Thanks.
Don't call me.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.